Ugly truth about politics. Today, there are a lot of people talking about politics, and throughout history, politics has gotten quite ugly. But just how ugly is it, and what can we do about it? Well, let's start with the basics. In the Etymological Dictionary, which breaks down the roots of words, politics from the 1520s means the, quote, science and art of government. From the early 15th century, politic means, quote, pertaining to public affairs concerning the governance of a country or people. Originally, the word may have had its roots with the Greek word polis, which means citadel, fort, city, one city, the state, community, or citizens. From these definitions, we can see that politics is all about the maintenance of an individual's living community, whatever size one may consider that community to be. While the size of change may influence notions of collectivism versus individualism, the etymological definition of politics alone leaves us open to interpretation of what actions are to be done. When most people think of politics, however, in today's world, they are particularly referring to government affairs, political actions. May that be elections, voting, government office positions, debates, campaigning, all for the effects in the world that people desire. May that be in introducing, changing, or eradicating a service, a tax, economic change, healthcare, maybe even a war. On the surface, this doesn't sound too controversial. But when we look into the world, there seems to be so much controversy over these issues and who will deliver what other people want. It has led into turmoil across the countries of the world, where the media may aggregate problems, share false stories, or push narratives, and people feel like their position is the most justified or that other positions are wrong or straight out ridiculous. But this is only the beginning. And while it may be ugly enough for many people to outright ignore politics while others then take advantage of it, this is not the only ugliness I speak of, and my own views on how the world should operate are of no relevance here. I am afraid that the acts of politics that we use on a day-to-day basis can be within themselves harmful to our progression and evolution as a human species. If you have an open mind, so we shall evaluate what I mean by this. The first thing we must take note of is something called democide, which is the top cause of unnatural death. It is known as death by government. Take World War II, for example. The reason why it is important to first know about this is because the very same or similar political actions and processes that takes place in today's world is what has allowed such a catastrophe, which isn't so far in the past if we consider how fast it feels sometimes for time to fly by. Let us evaluate these actions. The idea of voting or electing people into positions of political power. Ask yourself, are people being the change or looking for others to be the change for them? Are people begging for their own freedom? Is that how freedom operates? If you depend upon others for your own freedom, are you really free? We must know that it isn't just the people who vote who are begging. The people running for office are also begging. They are begging for the people that vote to vote for them, in order for change to be done, if it ever does get done. Do leaders become leaders merely by their identity, their convincing words or looks, their begging for votes? Think of all the constant advertisements for political campaigns. How much material, time, and money is wasted just to lead up to the process for change that is for the most part unknown as to if and how change actually will occur. We also know that the law is capable of changing, so something can be perfectly good one day and bad the next, because some piece of paper, some politician's opinion, says so. We get stuck in a cycle of this politician, this law, that law. Then we have so many or too few, humanity seems lost. an expectation for further expectations, a begging for further begging. Sounds kinda ugly if you ask me, and people in politics will say it is merely part of the process, a necessary evil. Well, I beg to differ. I would not like to limit change to just these actions. However, to evaluate further, we see there is barely any emphasis on education in political action. For the most part, what takes place is slander, attacks from one person to another, as if it's a sports boxing match of one side against the other, where people get so wrapped up on their own side, or they get so sick that the world is not changing the way they want to see it changed, people may even resort to violence at times. If education is used, it isn't likely timeless or universal knowledge, or knowledge that helps inform the populace to self-govern. It usually is used against another political opponent or for their own political campaign or agenda. There is barely any emphasis on personal change within politics. People can have trauma and end up having even more trauma after experiencing the fear tactics used in campaigns, or all their built-up hope crashing down on them. People don't know how to define a simple right. What is freedom? What is slavery? What is democide? What is politics? What is property? What is ownership? And how all these concepts relate to one another. For what philosophy people know, it is only what is taught to them of other philosophers or those people in politics who claim to know about these subjects. Are we learning how to think or what to think? Is change limited to what is simply scribbled onto a piece of paper? Of some one person over many hundreds to thousands or millions of people? What if they did not consent? Is this world only about you and what you want? Should any one person decide for anyone else how everything should work? In politics, people tend to know that politicians lie, that they will do anything to get people's vote, and even saying that alone will gain people's trust. If it's not begging, it's deceiving. It's complaining or it's ego boasting. It's bandwagon. Do people really like politics or do they like games? People see no other alternative to creating change, and their faith in history, which they also hope they can trust for their own country, will also attempt to validate that method of political change. They say, well, that won't happen again, we won't let it. They say, well, we learned slavery is wrong, so it's gone. They say, oh, it's illegal, so it must be immoral. They say, we just need the right people in office or the right law enacted. The right person or the right law, according to who? They say, what we decide, the collective, the majority, or the king, the queen, the magistrate, the legislature. So you want one person's opinion ruling over another person's opinion. They say, well, it's not an opinion. Well, maybe it's not. But not everyone will agree, so how will your opinion be enforced? The only answer to this is the same across the board for all political action at the end of the day: by violence. Even who people may call, quote, the greatest writer of all time, Leo Tolstoy, understood this. Every law is an opinion of man, a bunch of scribbles on paper backed by violence, enforced by other people who are seen to have more rights than other people, rights that they do not have by nature, and every politician is claiming to dictate what is right and wrong for people to do, to dictate what people's rights are. Should someone's opinion change what is right and wrong? If people say slavery is good, and many people say slavery is good, does that make slavery actually good? In reality? Has nature given any one of us superpowers that others do not have? If we all are prone to faults and we all are not perfect, we all realize that we all need to help each other in this life, what makes one or few fit to rule over everyone else by the threat of violence if they don't comply? Are we willing to violate the rights of the individual in order for the collective or quote-unquote greater good? Are we willing to go to war overseas against some people we don't know because we are told to do so, or are convinced in having to do so? What lives are taken mistakenly in this process? This looks ugly. When people don't think for themselves or use their own conscience as to what is right and wrong, and instead follow orders, what can happen? Wrongdoing takes place. It goes excused and ignored. Then people get upset that the world isn't changing for the better, rightfully in many regards, but do they realize it can be the everyday person shutting down their own decision-making of right versus wrong and acquiring their own knowledge to instead do what they are told? People keep blaming those who give the orders when they are among those who actually carry out those orders. Think of the golden rule, do unto others what you would want done unto them. What if you are a soldier who believes in some politician and one day they decide it is necessary for the greater good to bring your family to a concentration camp? How would it feel? What if you are living your own life and someday some soldiers from a foreign country come by and destroy all your property because their politicians said to do so? How would it feel? These are not extreme examples. These have happened and in different places of the world is still happening. Look at the identity that politicians create for themselves. Their celebrity-like position in society. How people adore them and cry about them. All the emotions people have gone through in this process for thousands of years, where has it got us? Any better? Or has it been a perpetual cycle, like the Teitler cycle has described? Dishonesty keeps people in ignorance. What is known as the root to all evil, and the image alone, the titles and positions alone, you must ask yourself, is this any honest of nature? Are these processes natural? Perhaps it is natural to socialize, to create change, but through this specific process of elections and inaugurations and involuntarily making people accept the ruler? They say, quote, they work for us, we hire them. Then how about you try taxing your politicians? Can you? Humanity can do way better than this, universally and timelessly, for all people past all divisions. Is politics not clearly a mass division? They say, your vote is your voice. Again, is this really honest? Is this not actually just one voice imposed on another with violence? Having no choice after supposedly having a choice. God forbid some huge event happens in the country, it'll only be used for another political agenda, and everything soon becomes about politics. Morality has to always pass through this man-made dictated filter. If rights come from nature, we're all born with the same rights, then why in the case of government do we create a class system where certain people have more rights than others? By one local politician running for the people, they justify the process that people can turn a wrong into a right, that they can grant or revoke other people's rights, that pieces of paper must be worshipped, and that political campaigning is the only action, that the slander, advertisements, collectivism, lack of education, convincing, begging, agitation, dishonesty, identity, division, justification, and ego is all necessary. Not all this ugliness necessarily dictates that political action should not persist at all. It is the inherent problems within political action that should most alarm people, for which the ugliness is only the symptom thereof. The inherent problem is statism, the belief that someone has the imagined right to rule. If political action was voluntary change, done purely out of influencing others non-violently, showing by example and not power or manipulation, these filthy processes would not exist. Politics would no longer be so ugly, statism, or what is commonly called the most dangerous religion, would not exist. If you want restrictions on other people's freedoms, you want slavery. If you want no restrictions on other people's freedoms, you want to end slavery. You are an abolitionist, as I would say. By being an abolitionist, as I call myself, you don't want to add anything new to society. You recognize our rights inherent to our nature. and you want to end what compromises our nature. You want to defend our nature and therefore learn and educate, because only we can truly free ourselves. It is our rights we must exercise for ourselves. You want the best ideas to rise to the top accordingly to people's needs, but no violence for compliance is necessary. Do good ideas require violence? That doesn't sound so good to me. If you wish to dispute my points, I encourage you read The Most Dangerous Superstition by Larkin Rose. A less detailed read would be The End of All Evil by Jeremy Locke. The solutions are simple. Freedom is what provides its abundance, not just one or a few. We attain and maintain it through moral power and action as the only political action. Universal and timeless education. The abolitionist who ended chattel slavery of the past used no politics and gave them no aid. They spoke of this exact action which did give them aid and what we can absolutely do today without any of the ugliness. Shall any ugliness come of this, it will be from those still engaged in politics, for morality seeks no conflict, it cares for all people, and this is beauty. We can start educative newspapers, video content, internet threads, memes, conferences, speaking events, radio appearances, neighborhood connections, going to different meetings or assemblies, starting non-political campaigns of putting up signs and sharing materials, integrating with movements and developing action plans or opportunities. For long, the media, both independent and mainstream, have had the chance to utilize a great platform, yet the actions often remain limited to the news, including the news of politics. They too have a responsibility to help change the world. Everyone wants to shun out those with different viewpoints than their own. I'd like to say that everyone's viewpoint is essential, so long as it is again not backed by violence. People have become conditioned to think that freedom is chaos when it is solutions abundant. People have also become conditioned to think that government is society, as if society would not work without government, like saying society would not work without slavery. These are just man-made institutions that, as the test of time has shown, only results in chaos. How long will it take for humanity to learn? And I don't expect you to understand this immediately. The truth speaks through time what works. Every attempt at limiting violence still legitimizes violence, and hence it always grows. The monopoly on violence, which is every proceeding by government, cannot prevent violence. No wrong can be justified, no evil is necessary. Otherwise, we wouldn't call it wrong or evil, or see other solutions. Everything in nature is self-organizing, and so are we, when we give ourselves the chance and don't abdicate the responsibility to be the change ourselves. Rewatch this video if you must, or look into the many resources provided alongside. Change does not require violence. If you think it does, continue your filthy game of politics. I'm not in.